Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. February 14th, 2006. Today's topic, talking to the shooters. Well, welcome back for another show. I think we're at number 19 right now and just really starting to pick up some steam. I have something really special for you this week. And what I did was, while I was on the last cruise that I've been writing about, those of you that have gone to the site and have been following my adventures through Cabo and Puerto Vallarta and Massillon and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, I was on a cruise called MacMania / Photoshop Fling, and it's done by Geek Cruises, and it's really a cool thing, and I'll talk a little bit about it today, and I've been writing about it too. But anyway, so I'm on this ship with all these photographers and Photoshop people and so forth, and I'm going, you know, this is really a great opportunity to talk to folks about, you know, how they prepare for a photo vacation and what kind of stuff are they bringing and what do they like to shoot and all that good stuff. So I brought my microphone and I brought my M Audio box. And I cornered people. I waited till the end of the week because I wanted to talk to folks after they had had a chance to go shoot and really sort of test their preparation. And I have three folks that I interviewed. The first one, her name is Lynn Lambert, and she's interesting because she has been into photography for a while, but has been working with a point-and-shoot, mostly, and more of an advanced amateur camera. And she got a Canon Digital Rebel XT right before the cruise. And she got a Tamron lens, a zoom lens with it. So she talks a little bit about, going on a photo vacation with a brand new camera. And I think that's kind of interesting. Then I also have a gentleman named Don Tillman, and he's just sort of a kind of a geek's geek in general. He likes all things around audio and photography and video and that kind of stuff. And he is packing a Kodak point and shoot camera. And so it's sort of interesting what he has to say, and he makes some really good points. And then I also have a friend of mine. His name is Ben Long, and Ben and I both write for Macworld magazine, and Ben writes books too. He writes for Peach Pit Press and my publisher's O'Reilly Media, but you know, among us authors, we don't really care who the publishers are for our books. That's not that big a deal. So Ben and I are friends, and we had quite an adventure in Puerto Vallarta on last Thursday, and we just took off. We got a cab driver who did not know any English at all. A lot of times they'll know a little bit of English, but this guy knew no English at all. So I'm in the front seat, trying to communicate in my broken Spanish, which it did get better as the week went on, because, you know, you just sort of get back and practice a little bit. But there were things for the life of me I could not remember phrases for. And one of the things that I wanted to do, if you've ever been to Puerto Vallarta, it's very kind of hard to get out of the city in that the city is very kind of bustly and stuff. And it really wasn't, Ben and I weren't really comfortable shooting there. We weren't finding shots. So we wanted to get out into the villages. And now in Cabo, in Massillon, that was a lot easier. You could almost walk right out of the downtown area and walk into the villages. But in Puerto Vallarta, that it wasn't working. It wasn't that easy. He had to drive out. And so I'm trying to communicate to him that I want to go to these, you know, I want to kind of get to the outskirts of the villages, but I couldn't really think of the right way to phrase it, because I didn't want to, you know, come off, you know, sounding, you know, condescending, or like, you know, the American that wants to go look at, you know, people who are impoverished. So it was very, very difficult to communicate nuance in a language that I'm not very good at. So, but we did. What happened was, it actually worked out really well. And what happened, we got him going, and we went south out of the city, and he was telling me about, he knew where the set for The Night of the Iguana, the film by the John Huston film, where it had been, the location for that. So we said, great, that sounds interesting, take us there. And so he did, and we actually, you know, drove through some villages and stuff, and we got there, and it looked interesting. There was no one else there. We had the whole place to ourselves, and it was abandoned. There's nothing going on there right now. So we just let him go. We just cut him loose and said, you know, really, thanks so much for your help. Paid him. And then we just proceeded to have fun shooting stuff around that whole area. It's a beautiful area. And I published a shot from there the other day, the shot of the little wrought iron gate and the whitewashed wall on the left side there, with the ocean in the background. So, and then we, you know, Ben and I decided that we would just walk back to a hotel at some point, walk through the villages, and when we got to a hotel, then we knew we could get another cab back to town. And the plan really worked. I mean, it was a long day, and we were out in the sun, but you know, we got to hang out in these villages, and we drank beer in you know, these kind of funky patios, and I had a Coca-Cola too, and I took lots of pictures, and we just had a great time. So it was really, really quite a day. And then we finally did. And the irony is, here's the funny thing. So we didn't have any problems at all the whole time we were in the villages. You know, I was talking to people. They were letting me take their pictures. You know, we were drinking their beer. It was just wonderful. It really had a good vibe. So we finally get back to the big hotel, right? And so we decided that we would, nose around on the grounds. And there was actually a path from this big hotel to another little part of the Night of the Iguana set, where you walked along the coast. But you had to go through the hotel to get to the path. So we get into the hotel. We kind of just walk by the guard briskly. And we're getting ready to go out onto the beach where the path is, and we're stopped by another guard. Now, this is at a hotel that caters to tourists and Americans, and is very, you know, very kind of high-priced resort. And the guard was asking me in Spanish if I was staying there at the hotel, and I told him that we were not. And he says that he wouldn't let us on the beach. And so, you know, and I, you know, I kind of pushed a little bit, but no dice. And of course, having to speak Spanish, I didn't quite have all my powers of persuasion with me either. So, but at any rate, I respected, you know, his job. And so we turned around. So we thought, well, you know, what we'll do then is we'll have a beer and, you know, in the cantina there on the hotel grounds, and then we'll, get a cab and head back to town. So that was sort of our plan there. And so we're looking at it, and we see this map on the wall. So we're studying this map on the wall to see where we might go next. And another guard comes up to us, and he starts talking to me about staying there and if we're residents and stuff. And he wasn't nearly as nice as the first guard that we ran into, and basically told us to get out, and in very, very strong language. So the only hitch that we had the whole day, touring in Puerto Vallarta and going through these villages and doing all this stuff, was at the American, based hotel, or at least the hotel that was catering to Americans. And I just think that was very ironic. The other thing that happened, so we go back outside, we scurry past the last guard, and there were some cabs out there. So we were getting ready to make arrangements to get back to town. And there were these other Americans came up, and they were staying at the hotel, and they were very American, only speaking English, and they asked how much back to town. And basically, the cab driver said, it was quite a drive, by the way, back into the heart of downtown there. And the cab driver gave them a price of like $14. And this lady starts negotiating with him, saying, I'll do it, we'll give you 10. And Ben and I are just looking at it. What do you mean she'll give him 10? I mean, it's a long drive back. We had made the drive. She had made the drive. She knew it. But felt the need to, negotiate with this guy. And they were just sort of looking, the two drivers were sort of looking at each other. And they finally settled at 12. But I found it really embarrassing, because it's not like these guys, are getting rich off us. So anyway, We got the last cab and went back to town and basically paid him whatever he wanted, which was right around, I think $12 or $14 anyway. So no big deal. Anyway, we got lots of good shots during the day, and I have lots more to talk about around all of that. But I think right now what I want to do is I want to let some of the other photographers talk. So I'm just going to cue them up and just run the interviews one right after another, and let you sit back and enjoy them. And they're all quite interesting. And then we'll, then I'll just wrap it up and we'll get on to the next thing. Now, before I cue them up, I want to thank everyone who has gone on to iTunes and posted a review for this podcast. It's been great, and the turnout's been fabulous. And if you haven't done it yet and you feel like you'd like to, I encourage you to do it, because it's really great. I was kind of going through the other digital photography podcasts, and there's another one that I won't mention right now that has about as many reviews as we have. And then there's us, and then, really most of them have none or just one or two reviews. So it looks great to pull up the Digital Story podcast and see all of your guys' comments there. And I really appreciate it a lot. Thank you so much. The other thing is, I have a little bit of a backlog of grab shots, and so I haven't been running them because I had this really kind of funky whole internet thing that I was dealing with on the cruise ship, this satellite weird internet and mail and publishing, all that was tough, and I just kind of wanted to get some Mexico shots up. But I am going to start running some more of those grab shots again, so keep them coming in, and you'll start to see more of them flowing. And I've already gotten some submissions for the photo assignment fur, and I think this is going to be a good one. So I hope you're working on your entry for this month's photo assignment fur. And have some fun with it, and make sure you get it turned in. Try not to wait too long, because remember, February ends pretty fast, and it'll sneak up on you. So don't let it sneak up on you without you getting your entry in. All right, so much for all that. Let's listen to some other photographers for a moment. I'm just going to turn it over to them, and we'll take it from there. Okay, so now I'm talking with
Lynn Lampert.
Hi, Lynn. How you doing? And how long have you been, an amateur photographer?
Probably since I was 12 or 15 years old. My father was a shutter bug and gave me a camera at a pretty young age.
All right. And just out of curiosity, when did you make the jump to digital?
About 6 or 7 years ago.
All right. So, and I know now because I've seen you and we've been talking about it. So you're shooting with a Canon Digital Rebel XT that you were telling me that is pretty new to you, right?
Yes, I've only had that camera a week. My previous camera I'd had for 1 year, and it was a Nikon 8800 Coolpix.
Excellent. So, and you got this camera specifically for this trip, right? And we're on the Photoshop fling right now, the cruise to Mexico.
Well, I actually got this camera because my husband was frustrated with hearing me swear for 1 year using my other camera because of shutter lag. I love the other camera, plenty of megapixels, plenty of great features, but the shutter lag every time I tried to take a favorite picture was too great.
And that really is the big advantage of a digital SLR. I mean, you know, they have the removable lenses and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, the shutter lag is really, you know, why we love them so much. So let me ask you this. Okay, so now you spent 3 days in Mexico. We went to Cabo and Mazatlan and Puerto Vallarta. And just tell me a little bit about how it is to be on a photo vacation and, you know, what you took pictures of and, you know, what you thought about it.
I think every vacation I've ever been on is in some ways a photo vacation. I have children, I have dogs, and I always take pictures on every vacation. This vacation's been a little different because I've been concentrating a little bit more and thinking a little bit more about the pictures that I'm taking and what I plan to do with them and what I hope to do with them and how do I do better at them than I have before.
So what was your favorite subject, that you, when you were in port on this trip? What did you enjoy taking pictures of the most?
Well, I always enjoy taking pictures most of people, of my husband, of my friends. Aside from that, I enjoyed the ocean, some of the scenery, but mostly the people in the shots with the scenery as well.
And if you were to do a photo cruise again, right, would you prepare any differently, or now that you've been on one and you've learned a little bit about what this is all about, and do you have any recommendations for people thinking about their first cruise?
If I were to do it again, one thing I would do differently is perhaps take a little bit more of a foundation course before. This is a Photoshop fling. I really needed a good solid foundation on an intro to Photoshop class before I came. I also wouldn't recommend coming on with a brand new camera. You know, having a month or two with it in my hand instead of a week would have helped immensely. It would have made it a little bit more enjoyable. But having a foundation would have helped as well.
Oh, that's great. Hey, and the last thing I want to ask you is that, you know, I know you put a fair amount of thought into what lens you got with your Digital Rebel. So, why don't you tell me a little bit about the lens that you have now and kind of, what your impressions are after shooting with it now for, a week in a foreign destination?
Well, I'm kind of a minimalist, and I don't like to carry a whole camera bag with a bevy of lenses and flashes, and I think it comes from my days of being a mom with a child with a diaper bag. I went from a non-digital SLR down to a small point and shoot so I could put it in the diaper bag. Now that my kids are grown and I don't need to carry the diaper bag, I don't want to feel like I'm carrying a diaper bag anymore. But I chose a lens that goes 28 to 300, hoping that I could kind of use it as a one-size-fits-all. I'm finding that that doesn't necessarily work for this kind of a trip, that I might have been better off with a wide-angle lens with allowing more light in.
Right, right. Because, of course, on the Digital Rebel, because it has the magnification factor, your 28 is more like a 28-30, it'd be more like a 42 or something like that. So it's not quite as wide as probably what you're used to. And then we did talk about low light photography, which is something that you like to do. So I think I have you talked into looking into a 50mm f1.8, don't I?
An inexpensive lens and something I probably should have gotten in the first place. But yes, I take low light pictures of my kids doing indoor things, and I've been frustrated by that.
Yeah, well, I got you hooked on the 51.8, and I know it'll be the first $90 you spend when you get back to the mainland. Well, thanks for taking time out and talking. You know, a lot of people that are listening are, thinking about photo vacations and are in your same shoes, so I think this helped them a lot.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you. Okay, I've cornered another photography participant here, and I'm now talking with
Don Tillman.
Don, thanks for joining us for a minute. So this is, you were telling me, this isn't your first cruise, is it?
No, it's not. This actually is my fourth.
Oh my gosh. And you enjoy photography as much as the computer side of things, right?
Definitely, definitely. My mom got me an interest in photography just probably, actually, obviously in grade school, but eventually in high school, I finally got my first 35mm Canon AL-1. And ever since then, I was a big convert.
That's a fabulous camera. I think a lot of us cut our teeth on that. So when did you make the switch to digital?
Probably about 5 or 6 years ago when digitals finally became affordable and they actually were useful at around 2 megapixels. So then in the camera I bought was a 2 megapixel Canon. It was actually a waterproof camera. It was on sale on the internet. Why not? $200. You could throw it to the floor and it would dent the floor and the camera would keep working. So that's where I cut my teeth on digital.
And now these days I imagine you're shooting with something else. So what do you have on the trip right now with you? And also maybe mention your favorite lens too.
Well, it's sadly not tremendously more sophisticated. It's a newer Kodak. It's a 4 megapixel. You're kind of stuck with the stock lens. It's like a 700 series Kodak. The thing that's nice about it, though, it has better control over exposure, better color, better judgment on the camera's part. I like a manual camera, but the manual digital cameras are still a bit pricey, so I'm still on the cheap side, I have to admit.
Well, that's all right. A lot of us are. So now, one thing I'm always kind of curious about. So what size memory card do you carry around in, a 4-megapixel camera, you said?
512 meg.
Excellent. Great choice. So, okay, now let's do a little bit of the voice of experience here. What have you learned over, you know, these various cruises in terms of preparing for them and, you know, what to do, what not to do? Do you have any tips for folks?
Well, with digital cameras, I tend to be very fanatical about batteries. You have lots of batteries. You have at least a couple chargers, so you can keep your rechargeable batteries charged. To me, that's very important. Obviously, you want to make sure that you have your computer. Mine's a Macintosh iBook. Make sure that you have the right memory card. 512 megs is really nice for a 4-megapixel camera. And, of course, for my analog, my 35mm SLR, of course, make sure you have film and so forth. But for me, batteries is my biggest concern with the digital cameras.
Right. And so you're charging here on the ship, you know, when you're not in port, and so that you're all ready to go the next day.
Exactly. You always keep a few pairs going. So in the case of my new camera, it only takes 2 AA's. So I've got about 8. Actually, I got 4 pairs all ready to go. So I can be in the field, blow through a pair, have another pair ready. So that's about the only place where I'm really fanatical.
So now, when you get back to your cabin at night, are you looking at your pictures right away, or are you someone that likes to wait till you get home to go through them all? And, you know, and then what software do you use?
That's a really good question. Actually, what I try to do at night is get the photos off the camera before I go to sleep at night. I try to look through them and try to get the orientation straightened out on them and so forth. The other part of that is I try to make some time to share those with friends here on the cruise so they can see what photos they have, and if they want any, fine, I can export them, and so they can look at the photos and have the photos of what they want, whether it's me or them or some of the scenery we managed to get. So I found, actually, by coordinating with other folks with the photos, you can really have a really nice library between two photographers. In terms of software, you know, I love iPhoto in terms of organizing and so forth. I'm still a little too cheap for Photoshop CS. I love it. I covet it. So I occasionally will pull out Graphic Converter if I'm really in a tough spot. And that does most of what I need to do for now until I decide I really, really, really want to commit to Photoshop CS. But I love it. Yeah.
Actually, we haven't talked about Graphic Converter much, but it's actually a fabulous program. You don't get the really slick UI that you get with Photoshop, but it has a lot of the same functionality, and it's what, still $30, $40, somewhere in there?
Yeah, it's still about $30, $40. I bought it a few revs ago, and of course, Apple started bundling it with a lot of their Macintoshes, and it's really an extremely powerful tool, whether it's $30 or free. I mean, for me, it was enough. I paid for the server fee, and I use it a lot. It's really a great, great tool.
I'll try to remember to put the URL. It's actually a German application done by a German programmer. So I'll try to remember to put the URL in the show notes so that if you want to check it out more, you can go over there and take a look at it. So the last thing that I want to ask you, by the way, have you upgraded to iPhoto 6 yet, or are you still using iPhoto 5?
Well, after the cruise, I'm definitely going to be up. I'm going to be upgrading pretty much all my software and also picking up iWeb. So, yeah, definitely iPhoto 6, because iPhoto 5 was nice. It had a couple of things I didn't like about it, and 6 really makes up for a lot of that easily, and then some.
Yeah, 6 is solves a lot of the pain that we went through with version 5. That's great. Now, the last thing I have to that I want to ask you is, do you have any idea about how many pictures you've taken over the course of the week? And let me see, we were in port for 3 days, went to 3 different cities. So can you kind of give me a ballpark of how much shooting you've done?
Yeah, I would guess between 300 and 400 shots, which is probably about 200 more than I anticipated. But, you know, when you're digital and you're taking pictures of not just scenery, but also your friends, and you're here early for the vacation, you know, your numbers go out the window pretty quickly. And the other thing I've learned, too, is with digital, you can, of course, shoot a lot more often and know that you might get a crap shot, and that's okay. You can toss it very cleanly. So probably between 300 and 400 shots.
And do you have a ballpark yet about how many of those shots that you're going to consider real keepers?
I think I'll ballpark probably about 250, probably, if I really look at them.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for taking time out, Don. It's great, and I think a lot of people, there's good reminders there, and especially about the battery thing. There's nothing worse than being in the middle of a great location, seeing that battery indicator go dead, and not having an extra with you. So thanks so much for that tip.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sitting in the Internet Lounge right now with Ben Long, fellow photographer, also writer for Macworld Magazine. And he and I have been doing some photography together on this trip and been having a great time. And I thought, well, we'd ask Ben a few questions about, you know, what his shooting technique is and what kind of gear he's using and what he likes and what he doesn't like. And maybe he'll even tell us a little bit about the shots that he's taken. So how you doing today, Ben?
I'm okay. How are you doing, Derek?
Great, great. So we went out shooting the other day in Puerto Vallarta. We took off all day, and Ben had a few adventures prior to that. So one of the things that I wanted him to talk about for a second is, you know, when you prepare for a cruise like this, you know, and you're kind of thinking about your shooting, maybe some things to keep in mind to do and not to do as you're thinking about your photography agenda.
I think maybe as far as shooting on these cruises go, the trick is to understand that you might have to do some traveling to get away from the places where the cruise is going to put you, which may not be the places that are the best shooting locations. And we ran into that in Puerto Vallarta, that in a lot of places the ship docks in kind of an industrial shipping area, and you got to get out of that. And then we were kind of in basically the touristy spots, and you might want to get past those and get somewhere else. So we found a cab and took it outside of town.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's interesting when you're as far away as in, you know, southern parts of Mexico, when you're in the tourist areas, it looks very much like home. I mean, you know, it's very much set to make Americans comfortable.
Yeah, I think that was true in all three locations, that just right off the boat, it wasn't any different than shooting in California, just about in any other reasonable sized city. So, yeah, you got to probably go a little bit farther afield to find more texture and more color and more interesting subject matter. And that's been true. That's been true on the other geek cruises I've been on. You've got to expect that you're going to have to build in a little time, and you're going to have to either do some planning and try and find where the good shooting places are ahead of time, or just try and find a cab driver or start walking.
So, you know, when you're out shooting, I know one of the things that I noticed when we were shooting together, and by the way, I think the buddy system is great for photography because, you know, you have someone to talk to, you know, you can pick up tips from, you know, the other person, and just all around, I just think it makes a day more enjoyable. But I noticed that Ben was looking, you know, was kind of chasing other shots than I was. And what are some of your favorite things to shoot?
I don't know. I can't really think of... Okay, well, all right, full disclosure, we were talking about that actually there are some things that we both like shooting so much that I personally feel like I have to put a moratorium on them, which so I've declared that I will not shoot any more buffalo, prairie dogs, and I'm beginning to wonder about doorways. Buffaloes and prairie dogs were not a problem this time, doorways were kind of an issue. I came back with a lot of doorway shots. Derek, you said personally you have a weak spot for laundry. And there was a lot of laundry this trip. But in general, it's more just about, it's the light that strikes you. It's not the subject matter for me usually. It's that there's a moment, a flash of some kind that is compelling. And sometimes it's a compositional element. Sometimes it's simply a lighting thing. Sometimes it's a color. Very rarely for me is it actual, oh, that subject matter that I'm enamored with for some particular reason.
I actually made the mistake of telling Ben my weakness for hanging laundry. And so then he became like an enabler and say, Derek, look, there's laundry hanging over there. And just trying to make my situation worse. But now we need to disclose, why Buffalo, Ben? I mean, because, you know, for, you know, the normal, you know, coast person, this might not be readily apparent to how you became hooked on Buffalo.
It's right. I grew up in Oklahoma, and there's a lot of buffalo and a lot of prairie dogs, and I don't know. I've just got lots of, over the course of my life, I've shot a lot of buffalo.
And how did the doorway problem begin to manifest?
I don't know. I think that's probably some deeply rooted psychological malaise of some kind. I'm not sure what that is. I mean, they're great compositional elements. There's always a built-in frame there. They're very often, particularly around here, are beautiful colors. As the light goes down, you usually get lots of nice texture off of them. It's a really graphical element to work with very easily. And I think that's true of a lot of kinds of shooting that it's a problem. It's a benefit and a problem for a photographer. Your brain forces patterns on things. Your brain is an inference engine. It tries to make sense out of what it sees, and I think you establish habits and certain patterns the more you shoot these kinds of things. I can't help but look at a doorway and go, oh, that looks like, and make that into a picture like this, because I've done it so often. It's I don't know, it's just something I see very easily, and I think that's it's hard to overcome those patterns.
Well, and also the thing about a doorway is it's indicative of the rest of the structure. So you can shoot a doorway and you have a lot of information even without seeing the rest of the building, what's going on there. And I think that's one of the things that I like about them too.
A doorway is an instant narrative. It's a beginning or an ending or something. So, yeah.
So, okay, so we have to talk equipment for a minute. So what are you shooting with these days? What's your favorite lens? You know, what ISO, you know, do you try to get away with? Do you like daytime or night? What, you know, tell us a little bit about that kind of stuff.
So I'm shooting with a 20D, a Canon 20D. I'm pretty much only carrying three lenses, the 75-300 image stabilized EF lens, the original one, not the new one that came out, and two S lenses, the 17-85 and the 10-22, and that's all I need. I haven't been hurting for anything else. I really like both of those S lenses because they're very light and they're very small. And we discussed a lot on this trip, Derek, you have a 5D, and so of course everyone's wondering the APS versus full frame sensor thing. And in addition to the money, I mean, I don't have $3,000 to spend on a 5D, but more than that, I'm not sure that I want the extra weight, and I'm not sure that I want to have to replace all my lenses with much more expensive, much heavier lenses. So I'm really liking that setup. I also brought with me, and I haven't used it, I have a little Panasonic Lumix LX1, the camera that has the switchable aspect ratios. It'll shoot 4:3, 3:2, or 16:9. And I really like it for a point-and-shoot camera because it does RAW, and I'm not locked into a 4:3 aspect ratio. And after you've been shooting 3:2 for a long time, it's really hard to go back to that. It feels really claustrophobic. I haven't used it at all this trip. It's kind of a little grungy in low light, but overall, it's a camera I like. We spent all day in Puerto Vallarta, and the light was really great, but I also really like shooting at night, and that's something that digital cameras just, it's hard to beat. We did a lot of 800 and 1600 ISO shooting, and the stuff comes out great.
It really is amazing, and you know, back to your earlier point, yes, I have the 5D, and I love it for my jobs, you know, the weddings and stuff like that, but as we're talking about, I was carrying the Digital Rebel all day, you know, because there's no way I wanted to lug the 5D around. And I tell you, I love that sensor, and I love the shots that it produces. And it's pretty much the same inside as your 20D. There's a little difference, but not a whole lot, really.
I'm nothing. I mean, color and noise-wise, there's no difference. There's, like, what? I guess there's a slight difference in pixel dimensions.
There's a slight difference in pixel dimensions, and the 20D does a little bit better at 1600 than the Digital Rebel, at ISO 1600. But I was shooting at 1600 a lot the other day, and it worked out really well.
Particularly the long exposure stuff we were doing. I mean, you did some 30-second and longer shots. I was shooting at 400 for a lot of those and not having to go quite so long. But I think at that point, any difference in sensor noise at any ISO is going to be outweighed by the fact that you're getting long exposure noise, and so both cameras are probably going to perform fine. What's great about these cameras shooting in RAW and low light is you've got enough white balance latitude that you can put the color back to normal, which can get you some really strange lighting effects, because it won't look like the color you're used to seeing in a night photo, but you have all these strange shadows because lights are usually coming from below instead of from above. And you get often very cool light halos and effects if there are lights in your scene. And so it was nice. I mean, I find that anywhere is good for night shooting, but particularly a town like that where there were some really dark areas and really light areas, you could find a lot of everything in between.
Well, you also, and this will be the last thing, this will be the last thing that I'll review from our reveal from our conversation, but you also sort of like mercury vapor lights too, don't you?
Well, that's what you get when you're shooting at night. Yeah, so that gives you, actually, it changes the color some, and you get interesting color cast.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much for hanging out for a few minutes. And the thing that I just want to reiterate again, that if you're not already doing that, really consider getting a photo buddy to go out and shoot with. And if you're on something like a cruise or some sort of group vacation, you know, it's a great chance to make friends and go out shooting with somebody that you haven't had a chance to before.
I agree. And something that you pointed out yesterday, it's not just that it's a lot more fun when you're out in the field shooting and you do pick up, it's not just that you pick up tips about, oh, how are you shooting this, how are you shooting that. It was really good for me to watch you going into situations that I have a more difficult time with, and seeing that, oh, okay, you're just doing this. And not just the photography aspect of it, but as we were discussing, the social aspect of it, the difficulty of shooting in situations that can be uncomfortable because of, in this case, the poverty that you're facing, the fear that are you intruding on someone or something like that. The other thing that you brought up last night is we both pulled out different pictures that we'd shot of the same thing, and they were very different, and it's, you saw something that I didn't see at all, and it's just really interesting to come back and get to see somebody else's perspective on something that you can remember very fresh in your mind. Now, I do think that you can have, personally, I have trouble shooting with a larger group. If it's too social a situation, you go into your head in some way you have to be moving slow I think, but maybe that's just me. I have to be moving at a certain pace to really be able to see and to really be able to do stuff. In a larger group of people, that's harder for me to do. One other person's really great though. And a cruise like this is a great opportunity for doing that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like the smaller group. Actually, I like two. To tell you the truth, I think it's my favorite way to shoot. And it's also interesting. It was fun talking about shooting people. And, you know, I think you can get away with so much more if you just show respect at all times. The respect just seems to buy us a lot of latitude. And, you know, people will let us, you know, they'll bear with us for a minute and let us take pictures as long as we're respectful and, you know, and make sure we make eye contact and, you know, and are very upfront about the whole thing.
I agree, and buying a beer from them helps also.
Yeah, and we did that a number of times, as I recall.
Yeah, and that probably put a certain spin on the day, but that's another story, yeah.
There's the perfect note to end this chat. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you, Derek.
Okay, that was terrific stuff, don't you think? I want to thank all three folks for taking a few minutes out of their day and sitting down with me. And, you know, if you've ever seen someone, you know, recording there in public, it's sort of daunting. You know how it is when you take a picture of somebody and there are other people kind of milling around, and, you know, it's a little hard on the subject because, you know, they feel self-conscious. And Well, podcasting is the same sort of thing. I mean, here, you know, I'm sticking a microphone in their mouth, and you know, all these folks are walking by, and all three of these interviewees did a great job of just sort of staying focused and, you know, shutting out everything that was going on around him. So great thanks there. I have more in the can on this, and I have another great talk where Ben and I really get into this whole issue of respect and ethics and where's the line when you're out shooting, when you're street shooting and all that. And so I'm going to work on that a little bit, and I'll have that ready to go here before too long. And I want to talk a little bit more about Mexico too, around all that. So I have more good stuff, and of course I might run a technique podcast in between this one and the one on ethics. So, and if you have any feeling about that, just go ahead and post a comment to this show. If you would rather hear the ethics one next, let me know, because it's no problem to get it ready. Or if you'd rather hear a technique show in between the two, I'm fine with that too. I can go either way. So if you have a strong feeling, just post a comment on the show notes to this show, and we'll see what you think. Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for this week. I had lots of fun, as you can tell. And the real point of this show is that I really want you to think about, you know, what your next photo vacation or photo adventure might be. And it doesn't have to be to an exotic location. I mean, seriously, it can be a day trip to, a neighborhood, a few miles away, or, or out to the lake or whatever. But I do think that, as we're talking about all these things to keep photography interesting and to stir those embers, this is one of the things that works for me, and hopefully you got some good tips today, and maybe get you excited about doing something too. Maybe get something on the books for when the weather warms up. All right, or you could always escape to somewhere where the weather's warm right now, but that's a whole different story. So anyway, thanks so much for joining me. Keep working on that photo assignment. Keep those grab shots coming, and we'll be talking all week, and have a podcast next week. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.